Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Let's start with the tournament. Did you made out a bracket?
Yeah, I made out a couple.
I made out,
but they're all the same.
I only do one.
No. I'm talking about like I'm in a friend's bracket, like they got like some sort
of. But you have one.
But I only have one bracket with all the same. I'm not like one of these guys who's going to pick, and then I got one winner in this bracket, another winner. That's lame. So mine picks are the same on all the brackets.
How you doing?
I didn't look yet. It's been a crazy day.
Okay,
I haven't looked.
Alex,
yours
Alex
is done?
Picked Belmont to go to the Final Four.
Actually, I had him in the final game.
Oh, stop.
Told you yesterday. We bet.
What did
we
y'all bet? Wings?
No, we bet dinner.
That was a quick
at
bet.
Crossroads.
That was a real quick
which
bet.
Which is a great vegetarian restaurant
I'm
here
down.
In L.A. I love it. Hey, even though I'm not a vegan. So I said, that's like betting that the Clippers are going to win the NBA championship.
And that's what you bet?
He bet me Belmont would be in the Final Four.
He just wanted to go out to dinner with you because it can't be a real bet. That ain't a real bet.
He was serious. He was talking trash. He was getting cocky.
Yo, I'm still alive, though. I have St. Mary's. She's playing.
You got St. Mary's?
Yeah, in the final. I have them winning it all.
Alex. Look at Alex.
Cut his mic.
Wow.
It's just ridiculous, man. Come on. My goodness.
So you are
going to bring me that dinner, though.
Now,
we are going to do that.
Obviously, out west here in Los Angeles, the game started at 9:15 in the morning. So you weren't at the TV set at 9:15, were you?
Look,
LA time?
I didn't have to do Undisputed this morning or The Herd, which I've been doing all week, Monday through Wednesday.
I did Undisputed.
So I was looking forward. I had to get up at 7 to do a radio interview. But other than that, I was just looking forward to laying in the bed and relaxing.
And watching some college basketball.
Yeah, but I didn't turn it on immediately. I slept. And so I got up around 9:30. And I had to do a few things, and then I turned it on. But I got to turn it on.
Because some people are like, it's a rite of passage for spring, and they're all into it. And, like, they're at a sports bar at early, normally at 12:15 East Coast time, and they're buddies, and they're drinking beer, and they're eating chicken wings, and they're all into it. They might have taken off from work. Some people have taken off work. Some people are at work. They got TVs going.
Well,
they're not really working.
You can watch it on your phone.
Right. You can watch it at your desk.
I'm into it. I just didn't feel like I looked at, okay, it was Minnesota, Louisville. I think that was the first game, and so I didn't feel like I had to watch it. But I turned it on once I woke up. The first game I was watching, I can't remember what it was. But here's what I do. Here's my strategy. So I'm watching whatever game I am more intrigued by, and they've got the scores. What's great now is they have the scores of all the other games up top.
A little distracting.
And when I see, no, you think so?
Like,
I love it because what it does, if I'm watching a game, what game was I watching? If I'm watching a game in the first half.
Right.
And I see,
like a closer
score? There's 5 minutes left. And it's close, whoever it is, I turn to that channel.
So you'll go
like
just
True
right
TV,
there.
TBS, TNT. And I did it with Bradley, Michigan State, with New Mexico State, and Auburn. So I watched the last 5 minutes of a close game, and that's what I do. And if nothing's close, then I watch whatever game is intriguing me most.
And
Murray State, Marquette, I wanted to see Ja Morant. And Rob.
But there's also what you call, a lot of, there are blowouts too in the first round. So some games you
that
do.
That wasn't the day though.
No,
Murray State blew out Marquette, but that was a 12 blowing out of 5.
Yeah, that was.
And that was exciting because of, have you seen him?
Yes.
He's the truth.
No, he looks like.
He is the truth.
Like he can do so many things, so athletic. I mean, I saw that.
Everybody getting caught up, and he is athletic. I mean, the dunks and all that, but.
No, I'm just saying, that jumps out.
He runs the
team. Yeah.
Like, he's a point guard. He has 17 points, 16 assists, 11 rebounds
today. And what was that, first triple-double?
And guess how many shots?
How many?
9.
Very nice.
5 for 9 from the floor. Like, he's a true point guard.
No, he's a point guard.
He trying to get out of pass it, getting everybody involved, controlled the game. He's got to be in the top 3 picks. Zion, RJ Barrett, and Ja Morant.
So that would be your pick.
I don't know if it'd be that order, but those three, because I'm questioning Ja Morant and RJ Barrett.
Now I just wonder, like, do people, as time goes on, are you interested more in certain games, matchups you're looking for? Do you know what I mean? Do you get to that point? We get inundated with so much stuff. People don't have all that time, unless you're really off and laying on a couch. So to me, the tournament becomes appointment television. There are certain games I look and go, I want to see that game. Now, I might wind up switching off or going somewhere else, but there are certain games that I might look at and say, yeah, I want to see Michigan State, or I want to see North Carolina, or I want to see Duke. You know what I mean? When they play.
So you're not just watching game that you really know nobody in.
No, unless I'm watching and somebody, or I see the score, like you say, or somebody, a friend of mine says, turn on so-and-so, it's a 3-point game, and there's an upset possible. Now, then I get people, my friends will just text me and be like, turn on so-and-so, and then I'll turn that game on or turn over if I'm not watching it. But I don't watch just any game just because it's college basketball.
I'm a little different. I feel you for the most part, but I'm a little different. I realized a few years ago, maybe 7 or 8 years ago, that it really doesn't matter. Because I used to follow college basketball religiously.
No, I get it. I used to cover college basketball.
I used to like college basketball better than pro.
Did you really?
I liked pro, obviously, but I paid more attention to the NBA in the playoffs, but I was really into college basketball.
What city was that made you? Because growing up, and the reason I asked you this, growing up in New York, New York was always a pro town. You know, we didn't have a college football team. Well, St. John's was the only college basketball team. And when they were good, people were into it. So I'm not saying that people didn't care. But New York was a pro town. So, you know, with 9 pro teams, we grew up and the college stuff kind of just went by.
Yeah.
Where did you get the love for college basketball? What city were you in?
I was in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Okay, then there's a reason
from
why.
From ages like 8 to 12.
Then that makes sense.
So, yeah. And then after that, it was Syracuse, New York. That's another college place.
Could you live in many more dreary places?
I know. As a kid, you don't say that? No. And then guess where we moved from Syracuce?
Where?
Des Moines,
Iowa.
Oh,
man.
And then the Cleveland. Cleveland was like an upgrade.
What did your dad?
I was hyped about Cleveland.
What did your dad do to the company that they just like gave him like the worst job transfers?
He was a personnel manager at Travelers Insurance Company, and I never lived anywhere.
He sure traveled all right.
We traveled after age of 7. I never lived anywhere for 5 years until I was an adult.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, and as a kid, you don't think about a dreary city or this
no,
or that.
No, no, you're a kid.
We like places better than others, but every place I was generally happy. But when I went back as an adult, like to Syracuse for the NCAA tournament, I was downtown. I was like, man.
Do we live here?
Yeah, right. I really was like, and then I thought about Cincinnati, Indianapolis. I've obviously been there for the Pacers games and playoffs. And I'm like, man, we lived in some podunk cities. How did I become so cosmopolitan?
It's amazing.
Living in all these places. And my wife's from New York City.
Right.
You know, so opposites do attract. All right, your turn to weigh in. NCAA tournament day. Share your thoughts. Rob's sharing his plan for the tournament.
Do you like, are you all in? Are you watching wall to wall, can't get enough? Do you pick and choose your games? Do you take off of work? Did you take off of work today to get it started? Are you that kind of a college basketball fan? Because the tournament, especially, I always say this, there's nothing better than a single elimination. I mean, it's just
the urgency.
The
urgency
you can't match.
It doesn't tell you who's the best player in the nation.
No,
best
or the best team. No. Anybody can beat anybody.
Every so often, the best team, there may be one team that is clearly just better than everybody else and wins. But for the most part, it's just who gets hot and...
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
We have Jeff Goodman of Stadium, college basketball analyst for Stadium, our former colleague back at the old network on the line. You're at halftime. Jeff, welcome to The Odd Couple. You're at halftime of that Kentucky game, right? Kentucky Abilene State.
And you know what? It's Abilene Christian.
Abilene Christian.
It might as well be Abilene State. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't. I literally, I'm telling you guys, I saw them before the game. I looked at them in the layup line, and I said, like, Kentucky's going to win by 40. You know how sometimes you could just tell? It's just the look test.
Yes.
Well, that, and they were selling Depends at the concession stand.
you don't have to laugh out of.
Come on, Jeff. That was funny. That was funny. Stop it.
But no, they're up 39-13. So let's talk about some other. Look, I'm gonna throw this at you, Jeff. In my bracket, I've got Kentucky getting to the final game. Don't have them winning it, but have them getting there. Am I crazy?
No, hell no, hell no. Like, everybody wrote him off after that first game against Duke, but they still fit together. Now, they don't have P.J. Washington tonight. That's the craziest part. They're without their best player, and right. They're up 100 right. At half against Abilene Christian. But if they get P.J. back, and this is something to be concerned about a little bit, he's in a boot. Now, I know anybody with any sort of foot injury these days, they throw a boot on you no matter what. But they're going to need him back at 100%. Maybe not even for the next game, although they get the winner of Seton Hall Wofford, who plays later tonight, and that'll be an interesting one, whoever Kentucky plays in that one. I think they can get by either without him, but going forward, they're going to need a healthy P.J. Washington. They just fit together, Chris. Like, they got a really good point guard who sets people up in Ashton Hagens in defense. They got two wings that are different, two freshmen. Tyler Hero can really score it. Keldon Johnson is just that kind of glue guy, that tough wing. And then you got two bigs with Reed Travis, who's a fifth-year transfer from Stanford, and you got P.J. Washington. They play well together, and you got three guys off the bench that know their role.
How important is it for Coach Cal to win another championship? He's had so much talent, we get it, but he's only won one. And I always say this, Jeff, anybody can win one. The stars can align because Jim Boeheim has one. So anybody can win one. But, you know, to win that second one, how important is it for him?
I'm with you. I'm with you. And I think Kentucky fans are probably with you to some extent, too. They want more, right? And that one he got, if you look at it with Anthony Davis and those guys, if Kendall Marshall doesn't get hurt, for Carolina and break his wrist in the NCAA tournament that year.
Might not have had that one.
So, yeah, I think with all the talent that's come in, when you look at, like, Jay Wright's got two in the last 3 years, and Cal's got one in his 10 years at 11 years, I think, at Kentucky.
Right.
It's a little surprising. And, again, it's hard on one hand because you got to coach these guys up that you're only going to have 1 year. But every coach in the country would love to be in that scenario, let's be honest.
It's the iCouple. We're joined by college basketball analyst Jeff Goodman of Stadium. Jeff, the star today is Ja Morant, Murray State, 17 points, 16 assists, 11 rebounds as they routed the higher seeded, the fifth seeded Marquette. Murray State's a 12th seed. Two questions for you on Morant. One, how far can he lead Murray State? And two, who do you like better at the next level between Ja Morant and R.J. Barrett? Because I think those two are the ones that are going to be vying for that second pick after Zion Williamson.
Yeah, clearly. I'll start with number two. And clearly it's one Zion, two and three in some order, R.J. and Ja. To me, it's Ja. Like, I just think you need a high-level point guard in the league to have a chance to go deep in the playoffs, right? I mean, there's no doubt. R.J. Barrett, he's the multidimensional wing that a lot of guys like in the NBA, and I think his shot is going to get better, but it's very inconsistent at this point. Right. And he plays bully ball. That's kind of his game. His game is put it on the floor, get to the basket. He's got unbelievable body control when he gets around the hoop. He can set people up. So he's got a versatile game that the NBA guys love these days. That's what they want, a versatile, multi-dimensional wing. But I would take Ja ahead of him. I would. He's a freak athlete. He's an elite passer. He's a capable defender. He doesn't really want to defend yet. And again, he's a high-character guy. Everybody you talk to around that kid, they rave about him as a kid. So I would take Ja Morant, too, at this point. RJ 3, and then there's a big drop off to me. There's no number 4.
Right.
There's no number four right now. Like, number four is wide open as far as I'm concerned. Now, your first question, they can beat Florida State, and then they probably go up against Gonzaga. And I just think it'll be tough for Ja against a Gonzaga team that has so many weapons. They got everything. I mean, Gonzaga is probably as well put together of a team as there is in the country. And they've really done it without Killian Tilly, who's been hurt most of the year, and he was a fringe first-round pick entering the season.
Jeff, what about the crowd where you are? I mean, I know college football's had problems with bowl games, so many bowl games, and a lot of empty arenas. I can't tell because the camera's so tight. Is it a sold-out building?
It wasn't great early. Obviously, Kentucky fans start to fill it up. It's probably two-thirds full right now. But I think tomorrow, so I'm driving after the last game tonight, I'm going to drive halfway to Savannah, and then I'm going to go to Columbia in the morning and see the games there, and it's Virginia and Duke. I would assume wherever Duke is,
right,
it's going to be completely sold out. So it really depends on the venue. I've been at venues over the years that have been like a quarter full.
Wow.
Just depends what teams you get at these venues.
Yeah, because they like to try to spread it out so you get some box office.
That's right.
Jeff, yep. Before we let you go, I know you're plugged in with the Boston Celtics. What do you think happens with Kyrie Irving in this summer, and how worried are they in Boston that he might leave?
They're worried, as they should be, because, nobody has a good handle on Kyrie.
Right.
Nobody. They can say they do all they want, but unless you're in that circle and there's not a lot of people in it, you don't have a good feel for what Kyrie is going to do. You know, for me, it's hard for me. And you know Kyrie, too. I've known him since he was like 15. He's not a leader. I don't think he's ever going to be a leader. You know, he walks in that locker room and the air kind of comes out of it. He's so talented, so talented. But I think even judging by the response that Isaiah got when he went back to Boston the other night, you saw how much his teammates loved Isaiah. Why? Because he was one of them. He was one of them, especially Marcus Smart and Terry Rozier, right? He was one of them.
Yeah.
Kind of that chip in their shoulder type guy. Kyrie's the opposite. You know, he's kind of like Jimmy Butler now, right? I mean, those two should have to play together. They should be forced to play together.
Well, they are friends. Who knows? We'll see what happens this summer. But Jeff Goodman, great stuff,
appreciate
man. We appreciate the knowledge as always.
Anytime, boys. Good talking to you.
Yep.
We'll talk soon.
All right.
Jeff Goodman from Stadium.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
Rob, it seems like a few weeks ago, everybody was talking about Oklahoma City. Not that they're going to win the West, that they're going to beat Golden State. But they were talking about the success that they were having. Paul George was in the MVP conversation. And now, what were they, the third seed, the fourth seed, something like that? Now, they are the eighth seed. They have lost four straight games, 11 of their last 16. They're not going to fall all the way out of the playoffs because Sacramento has stumbled, and now they're the ninth seed, seven games behind OKC.
Where are the Lakers?
Lakers are worse.
Where are they?
I'm not talking Lakers.
I'm just curious.
I don't know. 11th? 10 and a half games out.
Nobody in the West scares you, though, right?
I'm just saying. Scares you as
Lakers.
Far as. No. What?
Nothing.
I don't even know what you're talking about. Anyway,
I'm just ripping
Oklahoma
on you.
City. Oklahoma City is falling apart. And one of the major reasons, I'm a defender of Russell Westbrook. I've argued with Colin Cowherd many a time on his show about Russell Westbrook, respecting him and what he is doing. But that said, he took 29 shots last night, and they lost to Toronto. And if you look at these last 16 games where they have fallen off the map, one of the things that's happening is Westbrook is shooting the ball a lot more. He's averaged 23 shots a game in these last 16. He was averaging 19 before that. And that's four shots makes a big difference. And Westbrook is not playing the type of basketball that's going to win big games at a high level. And I have come to the conclusion, look, what he's doing, he's going to average a triple-double for the third straight year. Who knows? He might average a triple-double for the next 2 years for all we know. 25 years from now, Russell Westbrook is going to be an icon. People are going to be looking back and saying, you know what, 25 years ago, there was a guy that averaged a triple-double for three straight years.
Westside.
When you talk to people about the Big O, Oscar Robertson, as great a player as he was, he won one championship. The thing they mention first, the thing they remember about him is what, Rob?
Well,
he averaged a triple-double
right,
one year.
But he was the only guy who had done it.
Yeah, but Russell Westbrook's the only guy to do it three times.
No, I get
straight.
It, but I'm saying when you talked about the Big O, because he had been the only one who had done it for a long time. I don't know how many years have passed. 30.
He did
30
it in the early 60s. I want to say
so
62
like,
or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. But it was like 40 years had passed and nobody else had done it. So,
right.
Yeah, that was the first thing
you talked
about.
We didn't think it was possible. Nobody thought LeBron or Magic or Penny Hardaway or Jason Kidd could do it. Nobody thought it was possible in today's game to average a triple-double. He's done it for three straight years. So he will be an icon. But you know what else? I'm convinced. First ballot Hall of Famer, superstar, icon, will never win a championship.
Based on what?
His style of play.
So you don't know
if he doesn't play time and score, you know, time and score. Like, he plays at one pace all the time.
I think that when the time comes and the right pieces are in place, he can win a championship.
Kevin Durant wasn't the right piece?
Well, Kevin Durant walked out.
I'm just saying. You ain't going to get much better piece
than
that.
They went to the finals, Chris. Everybody acts like that didn't happen.
And they got beaten five.
No, but if it wasn't for the foul that they didn't call against LeBron.
Stop it.
No, you talk about the injuries. Well, the Lakers were in for it. No.
They still lost three
other games. He was fouled. He was fouled at the end of the game. They would have been up 2-0.
They lost three other games.
No.
Stop it.
No,
So now they should have won that series.
All I'm saying is that they were already in the finals. Don't act like they never got there.
I'm not saying they can't get to the finals. Did I say they couldn't get to
the
finals?
You said he can't win. How are you going to say that?
I didn't say they can't because his style of play. Name one player that plays that style of play.
I'm just saying.
Can you name one?
No, the Detroit Pistons didn't have a champion, didn't have a superstar, but they won a championship. And you know who they beat? The mighty Lakers with four potential Hall of Famers. Chris Broussard never brings that up. He always forgets.
Bring it
about
up
that.
You.
What?
That there's been two teams in the history of basketball without this a superstar. What's that mean?
I'm sure you picked the
That's
Pistons
not
to win
to
that
do
championship.
With Russell Westbrook.
My point is
it
that
got
sometimes
nothing to do with Russell Westbrook.
Sometimes upsets happen. That's my point. How about that?
I'm speaking strategy. You speaking, anything could happen.
No,
of course,
I'm not.
Anything could happen.
I'm telling you.
I'm giving you, and I love Westbrook.
No, you don't.
Westbrook
you said he can't win a championship.
He can't. I'm saying he's going to be an icon.
Can't means unable
I'm
to.
Can't
means unable to. That means you can't walk on water. That's what can't means.
Look, man.
You might say maybe he can't.
I don't care what they taught you about English at PS 182.
No, at Columbia University, Ivy League.
Stop it.
I didn't go to a college in a cornfield.
Hey, cornfields, that's all right. I learned a lot. All right?
What the difference
Oberlin
between
college mayors came out? I went there with mayors.
What the difference
future
between
future mayors went to college with me?
He learned the difference between colonels and cream stock.
Don't make That's me bring up your undergrad. Don't make me bring up your undergrad. You never bring that up. You know, he always just brings up Columbia Journalism School. You never bring up your undergrad. Where'd you go?
Southern Connecticut.
Okay, that's why you don't bring it up.